Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
A parable from the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, a parable often titled the Parable of the Talents. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. And then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have doubled them." And his master said, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. For you have been trustworthy in a few things. I have put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And to the one with 2 talents also came forward and saying, "Master, you handed over to me these 2 talents. See, I have made more, 2 more talents. And his master said, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trusty in few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received 1 talent came forward saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seeds. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talents in the ground. Here, have what is yours." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, gathering where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers. On my return, I would have received my own money and my interest. So take this talent from him. Give it to the one with 10 talents, for to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even that will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the gift of Holy Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a man who goes out and scatters the tiniest of seeds, little yellow mustard seeds, and they grow into fabulous trees. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a woman who is baking bread, taking leaven, working, kneading it into the dough. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a merchant doing his job every day, finding this pearl of great value. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a human king. Kingdom of heaven can be compared to a human business person, as in our parable today. 11 times Matthew offers us comparison parables. And 11 times the subject of those parables are people. 11 times the subject of those parables is not God. And this is a serious, serious matter because for far too long, people have been reading these parables as if God is the subject. And far too many people end up terrified of God. In fact, reading the parables this way has probably driven more people away from Christianity than helped people see who God really is. All of this weeping, gnashing of teeth, people being cast into outer darkness. You see, that is what human kings do. Jesus says, compare the kingdom of God to human kingdoms. kingdoms. What happens in human kingdoms? Well, if you don't obey, you are punished. Human kings rule by fear. And that is not how God rules. That is the point of the parables. But we have to live in human kingdoms. So Jesus is offering us a way to live within human kingdoms. While we have to be subjects in the kingdom of man, we don't have to be subject to human kings. For Jesus has come. Jesus has extended his hand. Jesus has said the kingdom of God has come near. And if the kingdom of God is here, as Jesus says, then that means our one true king is here. And while we have to work for human kings, we only have to be subject to our one true Lord and King. God loves. Period. God loves, period. God loves each and every one of us. God loves each human being far more than we will ever come to understand or imagine. So what is all this gnashing of teeth? Where does this darkness come from? This outer darkness? Well, that's what happens when we invest ourselves completely and utterly in human kingdoms. Human kingdoms always crash and fall. Today we're talking about investing. We'll be exploring business metaphors. Think of all of the businesses that have been impervious. Sears catalog. Used to be the number one retail account for toy manufacturers in the United States. I grew up the son of a toy vendor and became one myself. Sears catalog put me through college. Human kingdoms crash and fall. And they always leave the gnashing of teeth. My dad was the salesman who introduced the United States to affordable radio control vehicles. Sold $100 million worth of radio control vehicles to Sears catalog in 1984. He was rejoicing in the glory of kingdoms of men. And in January, he was called in to Sears catalog, not just with the buyer, not with just the divisional vice president, but every executive in the country wanted to talk to my dad. And he was thinking he was going to be entering into their joy. His name is Boyd. So as Boyd walks into this room, sits down, the buyer looks at him and says, "Boyd, we'd like you to hear some interesting news. You set a record." And he pulls out the printout. You remember the perforated printout sheets. Printout this tall. "Boyd, we have never had more defective products in the history of the Sears catalog." You can go from joy to being cast into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth so fast you don't even know what happened. And Jesus is asking us, why? Why do we put all of our time and effort and talents into those who lead by fear? When God is here saying, "Give me your time and talents," offering us nothing but love, why do we take the stick instead of the carrot? This parable written by Matthew, written 2,000 years ago, is written into a context that is very old, a context that's hard for us to understand, though the truth being offered is eternal. So what I want to do is reframe that truth into a perspective I think people in this community will understand quite well. There was an executive from a company in a little town called Bentonville. And he was going on a worldwide tour of his empire, a tour that would take a year, maybe more, because this was a vast empire. And he called in three managers that he wanted to pay special attention to his business while he was gone, three categories that were mature, that many had given up on, But the owner thought, there's more here. I'm going to place these into the hands of three gifted managers and see what they can do. So to the first manager, he calls in and says, I'm giving you my warehouse business. Go invent. Go invest. Take this business that seems mature and transform it. To the next manager, he says, sporting goods. Sporting goods seems to have peaked, but I don't think so. I think you can do great things with sporting goods. And to the third, he gave salty snacks. Yes, salty snacks. Been around forever. People need them, but what can you do with salty snacks? The executive thought, there must be something we can do with salty snacks. I'm putting this in your capable hands. And then he goes off and he leaves. And the first manager calls in the team, not just her team, but the entire team, brings in the trend analysts and says, what do you see on the horizon? And they brainstormed and they invented and they challenged each other. And they completely transformed an industry and they crushed Costco. And the Costco executives ended up in the outer darkness, gnashing their teeth. And the second manager brought her team together and said, you know, sporting goods is like a fashion business, and we've been treating it like sporting goods for far too long. Let's find the fashion aspect and touch the heart of Americans. And she brings in the people that are forecasting the fashion business. And they sit down with the entire team and they come up with ideation meetings and planning meetings, and brainstorming. And the trend people say, velvet. We're seeing velvet. Yes, the world is going to be craving velvet. So the manager says, what can we do with velvet and sporting goods? And somebody said, oh, we've killed with these knockoff Yeti cups. What if we covered them in velvet? And somebody said, coolers. Yes, let's cover the coolers in velvet. And somebody said, yoga pads. Let's make velvet yoga pads. And somebody raised their hand and said, velvet camouflage yoga pants. And it was huge. And they revolutionized the industry, doubling their sales and driving the competition to the outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the salty snack buyer said, salty snacks. There's nothing I can do with salty snacks. The best I can probably do is hold my own. So he pulls the team together and says, we are in a declining category, but we can hold our own. I know we can. And so they set their goal of holding their own, flat sales. And the CEO returns. And before he even sees the warehouse club manager, she can hear him shouting joyfully. And he's yelling, come into my joy, good and faithful servant. I gave you a declining category, flat at best, and you killed it. Now, I am planning to retire. I gave you a small thing. I'm giving you everything. You will have my job. And to the next manager, he said, sporting goods. I had hopes, but I never dreamed you could do this. Camouflage yoga pants. Velvet camouflage yoga pants. Who knew? Well done, good and faithful service. Enter into my joy. I gave you one thing. Now I'm giving you the warehouse club. Change the world. And to the final manager, he said, and you? What about you? What have you done? Well, sir, you gave me a really terribly difficult category. What can you do with salty snacks? I held our own. You held your own. I understand that there is a company called Snack Lab that has invented gluten-free, zero-calorie salty snacks, and they are killing it. And they've just signed an exclusive agreement with our competition, and they are killing us. Security! Take his key card and his computer, cast him into the outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you know This is how it works. You know this is true. Now, this parable has been named the parable of the talents for far too long. It's time for us to rename it, because this isn't about using our talents at all. It's about whose joy we are working for. It really ought to be renamed as a question. For whose joy are you working? Are you working for the joy of your boss? Are you working for the joy of human kings? Or are you pouring your life into the joy of God? Yeah, but Eric, I have to go to work. Yes, we do. But if we can't find God at work, we aren't going to find God here. If we don't experience God in the most difficult places, we aren't going to experience God in the easy places. Because God is there at work too. And we are being called to pour our love out, even in the most difficult places, using our gifts and talents to plant seeds. There's a parable about this. It's a parable about a man who is working, as Kevin Wilson would say, working for the man, plowing the fields, turning over the soil, planting, digging, until one day in this work, he experiences an incredible treasure. A treasure so overwhelming and awesome that he goes and sells everything he has to own that treasure. Now, Jesus is not asking us to go sell everything we have and give it all away, because if we do that before we meet Jesus, before we have that treasure in our hands, then we just end up poor in the street gnashing our teeth too. No, what Jesus is asking us to do is to pour out our love, to dig deep inside of us. What talents do I have for touching people's lives in dark, windowless office spaces? How can I make this environment of cubicles a little bit more like heaven on earth? How can I pour out love over and over and over again until people realize that there's something different about me? Maybe I truly am the light of God in this place. Jesus offers another parable for us. He says, this is like the person who is casting seed, the farmer with a seed bag on his or her shoulder, taking seed and throwing it without even caring about where it lands, knowing that this bag of seed is endless. So extravagantly, generously throwing seed, never worrying about running out, just throwing seed, planting seeds, casting God's love. Some of the seed lands on hard, dry, packed ground. Yep, throw more seed. Some of the seed sprouts and is crushed by thorns. That always happens. Throw more seed. Keep casting love. Some of it's going to grow. Mustard seeds. Bright yellow, tiny little seeds. Bright yellow, shining like the sun. Trees of life, spreading, growing. Jesus is asking us to use our talents to cast seeds, to cast love, to cast light, to cast life. It's not up to us whether they land in fertile soil and grow. It's up to us to plant and plant and plant and love and love and love. God will take care of the growing. And some of those seeds will grow until a forest of trees providing food, shade, shelter, life, an orchard providing fruit that heals the nations. Oh, enter into God's joy by planting trees.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.